Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. This is going to be a really big one. I'm covering a topic that will apply to pretty much everybody who watches this channel. We're going to be talking today. This is the second part of a two-part series that I've been doing on gestalts, intuition, and speech facilitation. And last week we talked about the first part, and now we're going to be getting into the second part. And it turns out that it's really timely that I'm doing this video for you, because I just want to do a quick shout out to Marge Blanc. Last week we talked about the research and all the information about the theory behind Gestalt language processing and how that is being hopefully introduced to more speech therapists. And so Marge Blanc and her team just got a paper published, or at least it's, I think, going to come out in December. So if you are following the meaningful speech stuff, they can share all of their information about it. And also, that is another massive resource for Gestalt language processing. It's called Meaningful Speech over on Facebook, and they cater more to the speech therapy crowd. But I know a lot of parents follow that because you parents are smart and you can learn, just like other professionals are just people like you who want to learn how to use these things. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So on my video today for you, we're going to be talking about this process of using gestalts together with your intuition to equal some speech facilitation. And yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today. As the slides move forward, today's video is going to cover that video. If you haven't watched it yet, you should go over and watch it there. Sorry, I was so excited to get started with the strategies that I want to get you on the right path. So that if you haven't watched that other video, you should head over to do it. And that video covers the overview of gestalt processing and all that information about Marge Blanc and all the other people, professionals forever who've been using this. And it's got about late talkers and virtual autism gestalt. That's in there. And then parent intuition and gestalt communication. And then we talked about five ways that parent intuition can block speech. So you'll definitely want to check out that video. And this week, we're going to review those intuitive blockages and see how you did with your homework. We're going to introduce a strategy, if you haven't followed it already, my reach and teach strategy, which is the number one way to get gestalts moving forward into functional speech. And I'm going to show you how to use problem solving to shift those behaviors. That's the whole process of this natural facilitation. We are shifting those behaviors into speech. And then I have for you the secret to motivate a faster shift, because we know that it's a natural process. And I want to remind you, just like every other video, that the strategies I provide here are general. You will need to use your own knowledge of your child and intuitive connection to adapt these strategies to fit into your everyday life, because everybody has a unique child and a unique situation, and I can't talk to every unique family. So the number one thing that I want to remind you, and I'm just coming back because I want to highlight the importance of this next component, because even since I posted the video last week, I've had some potential question about this idea of gestalts, because using gestalts or scripted phrases as your communication instead of typical language development, like, you know, happens with other children, this is the number one red flag of autism.
unusual scripted speech pattern. So even speech delay, that's one of them. But if it gets to the level where the child is developing gestalts, scripted things that are not, we talked about what they are. It's little bits or combinations. It's meaning something different or more than what they are actually saying and doing. And that's why it relies on the facilitator to use your intuition to get that process. But if you're not using your intuition, you see, you're going to judge all of those gestalts as abnormal, unusual, because they are unique, definitely, to the child, and no other kid is talking like your kid, which means that your kid must be abnormal. And that's why it happens that gestalt scripting is pretty much always the thing that will get you. And it might even get you from level one or two to level two or three plus, this particular behavior. And so the reality is that all late talkers, it doesn't matter why they are late talking. So yes, do people with autism use gestalt language processing and keep their gestalts a lot longer than other children? Yes, they do. And yes, that's true. What we're talking about today is that it doesn't matter what your child is diagnosed with or why they are using gestalts, because they could be autistic, or they could be ear infections, virtual autism, any of those other reasons. But remember, the symptoms are the same. And the number one symptom, I'm getting really excited about this because it's so important. And it is the number one thing that gets kids done. But it's also, if your child is not truly autistic, because most of the people watching this, 99%+ of the people, their kids may have some neural diversity or whatever, but they are not autistic. And you can help them shift their language. And they are using gestalts because their process, just like I say right here, their process was blocked by something. And what process blocked them was the exposure and or interest for listening to people talking to them about their life. If children don't have this experience, which most of your children had some sort of blockage, they will develop. Now, here's something else that I want to tell you about before we get started. I am extremely excited about. Literally over the past 48 hours, I've come up with this idea. I am developing a virtual autism natural facilitation membership community just for parents like you who believe that your child is using these gestalts due to their virtual autism previous experiences that caused them to have this condition, okay? These symptoms, all right? And this is going to be a safe space for parents of kids who have been misdiagnosed or misjudged. Maybe you didn't go all the way to get the diagnosis. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't yet. Maybe you're trying to avoid it, but literally everybody around you is still misjudging you because that's the reason that you have identified this virtual autism. Your child is showing symptoms. They are being judged, but they're being misjudged. And I want to help you get on the right track. And it's going to come this month. So stay tuned. It will be specialized content for virtual autism. Not the kids who truly have processing delays and all that stuff, but the kids that were experientially deprived from listening to people talking, virtual autism kids. You will have the opportunity not just to watch all the videos for free, no need for any YouTube membership. They're all going to be cultivated over there for virtual autism. And you'll be able to connect with me and other parents in my private forum. It's not a social media pattern. It's right there in the secret safe community where you won't be judged by anybody. Nobody will say whatever. You can say what you want. It's all full of parents just like you. And what you need to do is subscribe to my newsletter to get all of the details. And that's at wavesofcommunication.com and in the thing. And then I just need to thank everybody out there for your support, because I wouldn't be digging into these strategies without you keeping commenting and telling me that you need this stuff, because I do it for you. I'm here to equip and empower you. All right, let's get started. Before we get going, I just want to remind you really quick that you can ask questions and we can get to them at the end, but it's going to be a long video. So get your notebooks out, get your pen and pencil, or definitely bookmark this for later, because there's going to be lots of slides with lots of text on them that we're going to be getting through so that you don't miss any of the important details about this process. Because I am telling you in this video how to use your intuition to connect with your child and help them work faster than even the therapist that Mark Blanc is using, right? Because I'm going to show you the secret at the end. Let's get into it. You guys are going to love this. All right, here we go. Week two, intuition plus gestalt equals speech. And we're going to tap in to your intuition and use that philosophy we talked about last week of natural gestalt processing to facilitate functional speech development faster than most therapy practices that are in place. And here's the thing you have to do first, right? We talked about it last week already, because before you can make headway with this, you've got to give up the two main habits that will block this process every time. Number one is guessing your child's wants and anticipating their needs and what they're thinking and all of that stuff, and just responding to those things based on your guessing, or, because you could be doing both, and you have to give them both up. You have to stop prompting the speech that you want to hear, because you are facilitating the natural speech that this child wants and needs to say. Okay, so first, you got to get rid of these habits. Now, remember last week, I explained how parents often block this natural process. And that's why you've got a late talker, because you've got unconscious habits. And it's easy, super easy, for worried parents to get triggered into these habits that I gave you last week. That's why I gave them to you, because it's common. Every parent does this, at least for a period of time. You feel so worried that you get triggered and pressurized, go back to watch those autism things, or review those red flag things, or whatever other propaganda has been projected to you by the experts from whatever you've been watching. You can be tempted to go back, and if this expert doesn't say what you want, find another expert, right? Because your homework last week was to stop all that, analyze your own habits, and try to naturally shift away from those unconscious strategies into a more connected experience. And here they are, just in case you missed them last time. Let's think about it. Think about it right now. How many of these five things were you doing? And you can even comment in the comment below, just the numbers. Which ones were you doing before? And have you been able to make these changes? Anticipating needs, offering bribes, pretending you don't understand, assuming the child's wishes without confirming them, and the biggie, which is asking questions when you already know the answer. All right, if you have stopped all those old habits, woohoo! Congratulations! I'm going to give you a little ching ching. I got my little chimes. Good for you, because I'll tell you what, these things are hard to stop. It's hard to give up those prompting habits, because it is very easy to get worried. You just see your child doing something unusual or saying one of these scripted things, and then you go back to those red flag lists and see that gestalt using the scripted things as that number one red flag. And you're like, oh, maybe it's not virtual autism. Maybe it is whatever. Maybe I should go back to the supplements. Maybe we should try one more month of therapy, right? All of those things, you've got to get rid of it if you want to move forward in a better way. And I know you can, because if you've been following me enough time and using or reviewing any of the previous videos or the books or anything that I've done, you've already seen a difference, right? Because that's what we're talking about right here. If you have stopped those old habits for even 1 week, congratulations, because it is challenging to give up those habits, and you've been doing them since the child was born. You've been intuitively guessing and anticipating and understanding ever since they were born, and moving out of that comfort zone is a big deal. Because look, hopefully you've activated your own gestalt learning process, experiential learning. That's all it means. And naturally picked up new habits for yourself to use when you connect with your child, right? Because you see what happens when you connect and try them. If you yell at them or prompt them, they look away and run away. And when you do something different, they come. In fact, it can feel really weird to give so much without any expectation of performance, because that is what you need to get into. That's the mindset we talked about. You need to give this child a tsunami of the right words, the right way, at the right time. It can't just be tons of general speech. They've been getting that from the device. It has to be connected, intuitive speech that this child wants to pick up. They are motivated to try and they choose to use. Otherwise, you're spinning your wheels and prompting things that won't get you anywhere. Because ultimately, to get these gestalts turned into functional speech, this is what it takes. I'm getting ready to tell you. All right. So here we go. It can feel super weird to give without expectation of performance, but that is what the mindset is. You just got to keep talking and give them good things to pick up. So you have to really think about what you're giving because you want them to pick up. And if you did your homework and change, you should see these changes already. And I'm going to tell you some examples of the kinds of changes that you should be seeing. Here they are. If you see your child, so the yellow is what you see in the child. If you see the child staying around more, that means that you have been responding to their behaviors with assistance and not prompting, right? If they are giving you eye contact and smiling more, that means that you have stopped chasing and manhandling them because they're not running away from you. They're coming to see what else you got. I like what you're saying. Give me more. You want this, right? And you might see them using more detailed behavior. So they might not be talking more, okay? But they are getting more detailed in their communication because you have stopped exchanging things for speech work. And now they can open their mind to give you more detailed behaviors. They're already in the process of shifting because they're using more detailed behaviors, because that's how the process works, okay? And they're using more gestalt. So they're trying to talk more because you are in fact talking more, and you're explaining everything. You're giving the whys, you're giving the hows, you're telling them everything. So if you are seeing these yellow things in your child, that means that you're on the right track. And the right track is to reach and teach your child. This is the first strategy we're going to be talking about today. And if you have already seen an increase in connection and tension, just like I talked about, you've already been using this strategy. So again, congratulations, because you are figuring this out as a facilitator. You're figuring out how to do it because you're seeing the signs that it's working, okay? Because when you connect in the zone, I call this the language facilitation zone, because in this zone, there is so much cognitive, intuitive connection. You are thinking the same thing your child is thinking. You're doing the same thing your child is doing. And here's the kicker, how it's a language facilitation zone and why it works for gestalters, right? Gestalt communicators, is because you are saying the right words the right way at the right time. You're talking about what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing as the child. That's how you reach them. You literally reach in their space, physical space, in their mental space, in their thought processes. You are joining them, okay? That's how this process is going to work. I'm going to tell you how. And the reason that this works so great is just like when you're having a conversation with your best friend, right? You and your friend are talking about experiences. Like, let's say you went on a vacation together and you loved skydiving. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. And this was a once in a lifetime experience, skydiving, right? You traveled somewhere together with your best friend and then you went skydiving together. That's a story that you'll tell forever and ever and ever, but it's unique to you and your friend. You and your friend were the ones that made this decision to jump out of a plane and then go do it together, right? And had that experience, and whatever happened, good, bad, or ugly, that was your experience. And it's a once in a lifetime thing. Right? This reach and teach, what it does is it puts you back in the same place so you could tell that story with your best friend 25, 35, 55 years later and still feel the same thing and still experience the same feelings because you were there together when it happened and you're there together when you're talking about it. And you won't have that same experience if you didn't reach and teach or have that connected experience with anybody else. You can tell that skydiving story to a million other people and you won't feel the same as when you relive that experience with the person you went skydiving with. Reach and teach. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be using experiences and connecting so deeply with them that they feel like a once in a lifetime experience. And then later, your lay talker will be able to talk about it, not just with you, but with everyone else, because you're giving them the language that they're missing. Okay. And that's how this whole process works. That's it in a nutshell. Let's get through the nuts and bolts now in my slides. Okay. So again, when you connect in the zone, you realize every experience from the child's perspective because you're right there with them and you can see how they look right at you and right in there and their eyes light up and they smile and their face lights up. They might even grab your face because you are saying out loud the words they've been waiting to hear forever, exactly what they're thinking. And they don't need to make up or pull from their gestalt because you're giving them the words they need, the right words. Okay. You also quickly understand when you are disconnected how unknowingly you might start to slip into some guilt because you'll realize once you start making this new form of connection, how the guessing, anticipating, manipulation that you were doing, and every parent was doing it. Nobody's exempt. These are things that happen to every parent. How that was slowly deteriorating your child's feeling of success and happiness because now where did this happiness come from? Because they didn't have it before. Because you weren't giving them as much as you're giving them before, or you were expecting too much, okay? It's easy to reach and teach when you share the same cognitive space, which is what we're talking about in the language facilitation zone. You have the ability to intuitively understand the child's perspective. You are the mama. You are the primary caregiver. You are the one that spends 24/7. You're the one that knows when they're sick. You're the one that knows when they're tired. You're the one that knows when they're hungry. You're the one that knows when they're happy and connected and loved. And it's easy to teach when you know these things because you are connected in the same cognitive space. Projected speech therapists, this is why speech therapy doesn't work, because they don't find the language facilitation zone. They're so busy projecting their expectations and demands on the child and collecting their data to see how well they do that they miss what the child really wants and needs to communicate. And this doesn't only just happen to therapists. It happens to parents all the time. Parents send me videos of them trying to facilitate, projecting these gestalt phrases they want their kid to be saying while the child is clearly focused on something different. They aren't looking at the mom. They're looking at their toy or they're looking out the door. They're literally trying to move away from them. I see this in videos all the time of parents and parents don't realize it. That's why I'm pointing it out to you. It unconsciously watch what your child does when you talk to them. If they are moving away, don't talk louder to try to get them back. You've got to change. You've got to get into the zone or they won't appreciate what you've got to say. They won't value you. Okay. So you have the ability to intuitively understand them. And you also have the language and experience and emotional intelligence of an adult. You can show them how to use this language like a grown-up person who knows how to talk does. Okay. And you can see when they're on track towards experiencing something amazing. And it could be whatever they are doing. Even if they're making a mess, they're experiencing something amazing. Look at this drip from this spoon. What's going to happen if I get wet? Yum, yum, yum. I've never eaten a burger and fry. I got my own fast food. You know, look at this kid craving. You know, think about how you can see from facial expressions, these kids who are climbing the tree, right? You can see when your child is on track to something amazing. Look at their facial expressions. Look at their behavior. This is not a behavior of a child who's not learning. It's behavior of a curious child who's learning. And that when they're learning, when you see them learning, That's when you slide into their energy and experience the same thing for yourself. That's how you get in their mind, right? And first, you have to ask if you can join them. You don't just go in and start picking up the toys and playing. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. Kids, if you want to reach them where they are, you have to ask them if you can join them, okay? Everybody wants that. And you have to then talk about your own experience. This is a biggie that happens with a lot of parents. They will join the child for play and then start talking about projecting things that they want the child to say. You're happy about that. You're pushing the train. You want it going up and down. You know, you want this. You think this. You're doing this, right? All of that because you're intuitively connected and you're guessing. And you're guessing. You want this. You're doing this. You know, all that business, okay? It's not necessary and it's not helpful. This is why children start to use pronouns the wrong way when parents are projecting things like that. When you use pronouns the correct way and you say, wow, I am pushing the train and I feel happy about this and I don't want to wait in line and all of the things that you feel when you join the child. I don't want to wait five more people to get our ice cream. It's too hot out here. If you're thinking and experiencing something in the language facilitation zone, guess what? So is the child. They're experiencing the same thing. And when you talk about what you experience, those gestalts are flying all over the place. Then this child's head, wait, that sounded good. That sounded good. That sounded, they're trying to pick up new language. So that's why it's important that you keep talking and giving more, right? It's when you're in the zone and you talk about your own experience, that's what gives them the stuff to pick up. And that's how this works, okay? That's why you have seen, some of you, an evolution already in the communication. So Reach and Teach gives your Gestalt language processor all of the right words to learn. Think about what that guy's saying. And now, when he's pouring the sand on the beach, he's talking about pouring down and, oh, it's going and look at it, how it's moving through your hands and, ooh, isn't that cool and all that stuff. If he was pouring it himself, then when the child's at school playing with sand or when they return to the beach another time, they will have the language they need because they learned it, right? While you were doing it together before. This is how experiential learning results in actual language because you do it and say it, okay? Now listen, the next thing I want to talk about is using your gestalts to solve problems because yes, we do like to talk about the things we love. If we get on a track or if we got our mindset onto something, swimming or a new car we're buying or a new job or new baby or even this language facilitation journey, you want to talk about it a lot to a lot of people. But where really we talk more, we actually talk more than these happy things is about our problems. So think about it. If you are eating something, let's say you're invited for dinner, okay? And you're thinking about what's going on in your mind because you don't necessarily say this. So you're invited to a dinner party and you're served some kind of food that you don't like, okay? And you want to be polite. So you put on your face and you take a bite or you choose not to eat it or something comes out, right? Because in your mind, you're thinking, oh no, someone's giving me food. I don't want to eat this food. I don't like this food. And then because you're an adult, excuse me, with emotional intelligence, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to be impolite. I don't want to embarrass this person. I don't want to make them feel bad. Or maybe if you don't have that filter, like a late talker, you'll say whatever you think. This is yucky, gross, bleh, I don't want to eat it, right? Okay, so if you're a child and you're invited to a dinner party, literally in your kitchen, it's your dinner party, and you serve your child something they don't like, that's a problem. It's not a problem for you. They liked this macaroni and cheese every thousand of other times that you served it. But today it's yucky, gross. I don't want it. And they're using their behavior to communicate that situation, right? You know there's things that you can teach them to say about that situation. And that's what we're going to be talking about next, is how to use your intuition. It's also how you see when your child is having a problem and potentially getting into trouble. So look at these kids here. We've got the one who's putting his finger in the light socket. We've got the girl who's dumped her toys. We've got this kid who's isolated and scared and afraid of the environment. We've got this one over here with a stomach ache. And we've got this other one here that's just frustrated and mad and ready to bust something. Okay. And your intuition lets you know that these kids are having a problem. They've got an issue going on, that they need language to talk about, because you wouldn't see this behavior if you did it. And parents will often use their intuition to control and prevent the child from making a mistake, right? Don't put your finger in the thing. Do it the right way. Make sure you get all the germs. But watch this woman. I'm just going to pause this for a second. Watch this woman as she's helping her child, and watch his reaction to her. Like right now, she's manhandling him. She's holding both hands. She won't let him use his right hand. She's got her hand holding it. So she won't let him reach out and grab. He's trying to stop her from doing that. So she's stopping that hand, and she's literally wrapped his whole hand around that, and she stuck that thing in his mouth. Now she's got her own. Now she's doing a demonstration, and he was resisting when she was trying to put that toothbrush in his mouth. And now that she's using a demo, look at him, look at her. He's looking right in her eyes, looking right at her face, looking right at her mouth. And he's got his own toothbrush in his own hand and his own mouth open, and he's sticking it in there, and he's trying his best. This is what we're talking about. Like, you see how your intuition can get you into trouble. You might think your child needs you way beyond the baby stage. This little guy was little, right? And his mom did not give him enough credit for trying to learn from her demonstration. When they make a mistake, you know, they have behaviors that you don't want to see, because remember, they don't know how to communicate their problems and their issues and their mistakes. Because when they make a mistake, then you got a problem. You spill something, you break something, you don't get what you wanted. That's a problem. That's what happens. In unconscious stuff, without teaching, kids are going to trial and error, and parents want to control all that, right? Let me show you. This is what happens, right? So nobody can ever stop every mistake from happening, even though you want to. And you've been doing it, remember, since your child was very little, because you had to protect them when they were an infant. But now this is a big kid who's able to run around. And the most successful facilitators use these problems, mistakes, and unfortunate situations that are outside of their control in your lives as learning opportunities. And you're really missing your whole process if you don't take advantage of this strategy, because it's easy to reach your kid when they're having fun, but it is really challenging to give up those guessing and forcing things when your child is having trouble. Now, look, the fastest learning happens from trial and error. This kid's on a teeter-totter, and he wants it to go up, and he's literally on top of it, pushing it. He doesn't know how to do this thing. Nobody's helping him. He can lift it, but he wants to be on top of it while it's going up. How is he going to do this thing? Trial and error, okay? So here's what you are going to do. You're going to explain every problem that you encounter from everyone's perspective, not just you're sick, you're sad, you're this, you're that, everyone's perspective. Because sometimes when the child, okay, so when the child refuses to eat the macaroni and cheese that you cook them for dinner, and two people have a problem. Because the child is upset because you've given them food that they didn't want today or they didn't ask for. And you're upset because you've made this food assuming that they want it and you need them to eat, right? Now they've option one has been refused. Now you got a problem. And so the kid also has a problem. He's hungry. He doesn't want what you gave him. You didn't ask ahead. You assumed and made the situation, and now you got a problem. Because until your child becomes a talker, you're going to have these situations happen all day, every day. And if you're on track it to be a facilitator, you're going to use them so that they get to be fewer and fewer and fewer. Because once your child, you go through these things and you explain, oh, I didn't ask you what you wanted today. Let's start over, you know, and you go through it and you get the chicken nuggets the child wanted instead and you cook them in the air fryer and they've got to wait now because they had it and you got to help them have a little snack while they wait. All the things that you facilitate getting the food into the child, right? Some food, because you got a problem. They're hungry, they need to eat, and they've got a problem. You're not giving them the right stuff. How do you get win-win is through these problem solving that you do every day. But I promise you, if you've got a late talker, you're not talking through the process like you need to. And when you do, then those gestalts start flying around. The language starts flying around that the child can learn from and pick up, okay? So you start flying this language at the child by explaining the problem from everybody's perspective. You don't have any food in your belly and you're hungry, hangry at this point. And I made this thing and it's not a match, right? You've got to explain it from everybody's perspective and you're going to be more hangry if you don't get more food. So we've got to find some food, right? And you're that problem solving that you go through in lots of details about how everyone is feeling. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't realize that you didn't want peanut butter and jelly again for the 50th time because you wanted it 49 other times. You know what I mean? You don't know because you've been guessing and they've also been intuitively projecting this onto you. Like that whole intuitive thing, all those habits that you had that created a whole dynamic with your child where they used to just do a thing. It might have even gotten so sophisticated all they had to do is look sideways or show up in a room and suddenly you were giving them things because you were using your intuition so much. Right? Now that you're not doing it anymore, now you're going to talk about everything. And once you talked about what the problem is and how everybody is feeling about it, you have to talk about why it happened. Why is it a problem? Because the rules and boundaries that were in place to keep this problem from happening didn't get talked to everybody. So you got to talk about them now. Now is the perfect time. Oh, I need to come and ask you before I cook your food. That's a child rule, right? And I can't give you 50,000 choices. There's a boundary. You have to do it right there in the time of the situation. Okay, because that's way now we've started from the problem solving perspective. So next time the child has the problem, they know how to talk about the problem instead of make it happen. And you want to use your problems like, look at this child's bored, nothing to do. And what are they doing? Drawing on the wall. This is a parent's problem. No parent wants this. Okay, so you've got to use their situations as a tool to teach them the rules and expectations for next time. You can't punish them either. And you also have to share the real feelings that were triggered in the frustrating situation. So here is a child that is blatantly using behavior to communicate. He's not even really upset. He just doesn't know how to say that he doesn't want to go get in the pram and go home. Okay? He doesn't know how to say it. So, but he's really feeling that. And he's sad about it. He wants to be outside more. He doesn't want to go home because whatever's at home is not as good as whatever's out here. Okay. And when you see this behavior, it is your indication that someone forgot their responsibility to review or follow the rules. Maybe you were responsible for reviewing them and they were responsible for following them. But if it hasn't been taught, you're going to have a problem. Now, you also need to remind the child that they are responsible for their own feelings and consequences of their actions. And you show them better ways to handle the situation in the future because they're going to tell you child situations, or they're going to show you if they can't talk. Like this little boy's older and he could say things like, yeah, but he got to go first last time, or I didn't want to eat macaroni and cheese. And I really saw this steak on TV. And I was hoping you would make me a steak. But of course, the child didn't tell the mom and all these things. So because once the situation happens, you know what happened and you know why it came. So now it's your job as the facilitator to show them better ways to handle it in the future. I don't like it. I don't want to do. He's flapping his hands. He's doing whatever. She's like, you don't have to be upset by this. Let's figure it out and handle it together. You have the emotional intelligence to teach these kids. Because listen, gestalt expressions will only shift into functional speech when facilitators motivate the child to listen, learn, and then actually try this new language that's outside of their knowledge base. Remember, they're already using a language that they've made up with their scripts. Your new language is the new scripts, the new phrases, the new chunks that'll come out that are based on what you're teaching them, because you're changing the environment. You're making it language rich, okay? And your connection and problem solving strategies provide plenty of opportunities. Also, your fun. These provide the opportunities for a child to learn a new language that they can use with everybody and not just you. And that's why it's better. But it's also not, they don't have to physically do things anymore. Okay. Now, I just want to check in with you to thank you for watching and tell you to stay tuned, because we haven't hit that secret, because to make this activate faster, you're going to see what we talk about next. And right now, though, I want you to think about what I've just been saying. And what activities did you use last week? What did you replace with, right? What activities helped you do that better, where you could give without expectation? Not everything, maybe it wasn't your meal time or your toothbrushing time that you could do that, but some play time last week you might have been able to reach and teach when you were out on a walk or singing or doing something like that, because it always starts with the fun stuff first, because now you're knowing about the problems. But think about now moving next week, what problems still keep you worried? My child can't do X by themselves, or they keep doing X that makes me bothered, right? What problems keep you worried? Because that's where you're going to target your language facilitation work moving forward. Because remember, if you're having this problem, it's because of this late talking situation. And the third thing is, what behaviors have you seen that indicate that maybe for this particular situation, and it's going to be situational, these behaviors, what behaviors indicate that you haven't quite taught the rules and boundaries for that situation that you are expecting the child to do? Remember, you're expecting them to stay in the house. You're expecting them to come in when you ask. You're expecting them to eat, your whatever. Because remember, there are rules and boundaries that happen in every life, okay? Now, and you're getting the idea of how important what you say and how you say it and when you say it, the right words, the right way, at the right time, is everything to the process for a Gestalt language learner. What you day, that's why you're the best. Nobody knows your child as well as you. And you are the ones that know their problems, know their brilliance, know their superpowers, know the things that they care about. Okay. And that's why you are the best one to do this. Let's get into the secret trick. There is a secret trick that motivates our brain to communicate without us even knowing. That's automatic, right? Remember how these scripts seem to be coming out sort of like robotic, blah, 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 automatic things that come out. That's how speech works for those of us who have language. We just talk without thinking. You don't think about the words you say before you say them once you're competent, okay? And we need to activate that in these late talkers. They don't have it yet. Everything they say is premeditated except for these scripts that have made it into their automatic language center of their brain. And so what we want to do is we want to activate that automatic center of their brain with the right words, the right way, at the right time, so that the right language gets in there and they start using it on their own. Okay. So this component that I'm telling you about activates the automatic expression, and it works because it activates neuroplasticity. And that's what I was just talking about. If we don't activate neuroplasticity, it's temporary learning just to get a reward. You want to be activating neuroplasticity to go. So here it is, everybody. The secret to faster evolution from Gestalt expressions to functional speech is adding movement. And it's important that, and it doesn't matter what kind of movement. It can be anything. For this little guy up on the upper right here is just laying on the floor scribbling and hula hoops. And then also it can be riding. Like, see, this little guy is just riding in a car, and that's movement. And there's the girl on the swing who's actually not just riding, but making the swing go. And this boy over here on the left is throwing and tossing and watching that thing go up and down. And this little guy here is balancing and stacking and testing physics, right? So this is it. And I'm going to show you why it works. Because, so remember, it's movement. And so many kids want to stop moving. So the theory is, it was learned from studies of the brain, fMRI study. That theory, that idea, the understanding of a late talker's neurology, right? That the motor areas interact with the speech areas. That's why when we move or we do something or we experience some crazy emotional thing, it explains why yelling, shouting, crying, or other communications pop out automatically. So when you ride on a roller coaster, you can't help but scream, or your back twinges, you move some way and you, you know, that kind of thing. Or you have some extreme happiness, like you do your thing and you're like, woo! You know, the guy who runs the marathon, even though he's exhausted, he can't help but just like scream with some sort of communication. They pop out automatically. And this is what happens with late talkers. That's why they want to move, okay? So it also explains why these late talkers can't stop moving. They want to jump. They want to not stop jumping, and they're moving all the time. And if they're not moving their whole body, which activates more, they'll move even little bits, okay? And so even watching movement or riding in a car adds this multi-sensory learning experience, and it keeps the activity, what we call functional, for overall brain development. Because this little child who's watching this laundry right now, if there is a grown-up standing behind this little one, watching the same movement, remember, in the zone, and you're saying things like, it's going round and round and round, and there's daddy's shirt, and oh, look, there's your blanket, and I see your socks, and oh, they're all wet, and here come the suds, right? Even this little child will learn. Their brain will start to activate because just watching the laundry spin around will make that parent, this parent's language model, so much more impactful than if you were even reading a book about it or watching it on television or something like that. But the actual experience of seeing the actual clothes that probably they helped put into the actual washing machine, close the door, push the button, watch the water come. This whole process now is not just round and round and round. It's a whole series of language that this child is learning. And while the motor activity is stimulating the connected part of their brain, it's firing dopamine and neurology connections. They actually jump. The neurons jump more from one to the other when you have this aspect. That's why I've done a lot of those videos about neuroplasticity and helping your child change, right? Because literally even watching this movement adds the functional development. And so here's another kick. This is sort of a second bonus for you. When the child enjoys the activity while they work through challenges and practice. So this little girl is learning how to dance a new way. Like she's visiting Hawaii, she's doing this little dance class or whatever. They gave her a grass skirt, but this is her first time doing it. She's just dancing like a little girl, dancing like nobody's watching, and she's watching other people. And when they love it, there's an extra bonus when the child has fun. Because look, now there's three stars here activating the brain. It helps you, the brain, the area of the brain that helps us experience enjoyment also interacts with the areas of speech and motor development. So when your activities activate these things all together, and you are using good gestalt language models, you're using good language models that your child can pick up gestalts from. We're going to talk about that in just a second. What you say matters. We don't want to, remember, we're not projecting these little phrases that you're saying. I want to do it. I pick it up. I like it. I do it. You don't want to project. I see. That's the one thing that's different about what I suggest that you do versus some of the meaningful speech people. Like, they'll say that you can put those gestalts even in a talkie box for a child to use. That would be an extreme case for a child that this didn't work for, okay? Because what you're doing when you do that, when you just give them a limited thing to learn from, two or three words or a little phrase, then you're just being the same as the phone. And they're going to pick up that two or three phrase, like, I like it, or let's go, or a common one is stop it. Right. So kids will pick up those gestalt phrases if you are laying them down easily, just like they picked up the stuff from videos. But how you get functional speech is that you have to give more. That's why full sentences with age-appropriate vocabulary, multi-syllable words, just speak slowly and carefully, because these kids, like you saw in those videos, when you say what they're thinking about, they'll look right at you. They'll look at your mouth. They'll even hold your face, right? That's how you know you're doing it the right way, because they are coming. They're listening. They're learning from you because you are giving them words they want to learn. You're not throwing out stuff hoping that they'll say it, that they can pick up a little phrase. They'll make their own phrases. You don't want them picking up scripts from you. We want to get that idea of scripts is how I talk, gestalt, into, hey, this is a whole language full of rules and sentence structure and all of that. And each language has their own. That's why kids will, if they're multi-language learning, they'll pick up gestalts from each language and they'll Spanglish or Hindi-lish, you know, their speech and do all of that stuff. They're picking it up their own way. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that. Okay. So the facilitators that get the fastest progress, this is what they do. My clients, and when you get, remember, when you stop those other, you have to stop those other things first. And when you stop those things and you do this, you will see spontaneous expressions involve. So enjoyable movement with intuitive language models. Child watching something, you talking. Child doing something, you talk. Doing something together, you talk. Riding in the car, you talk. You talk about what you are experiencing in that moment. That is all you need to do to motivate a child's spontaneous expressions to evolve more rapidly into functional speech. Okay, that's all you got to do. And you do have to do it a lot, 2 or 3 hours every single day, not in one big chunk, but over and over and over. So your child has a problem, you talk about the problem. Your child has a need, you talk about the need. You show them something new, you talk about this new thing. Your child has a curiosity, they bring you something to teach them. You talk about that. You have jobs already scheduled in your schedule that you have to do, commutes and self-care jobs and all of that. You talk about that. Every time you connect with the child, you have the opportunity, because they're communicating with you with every single behavior they use, even the scripts, even the repetitive behavior, even the flipping the thing up and down in the air. It's all communication. And when you stop guessing what it could possibly mean and you connect with them in the language facilitation zone, you know what it is. And then you shift into your facilitator mindset and give them the language they need and trust that they will pick it up. They might not pick it up the first time. They might not. Depends on the impact. Remember, some things you learn immediately, like you stub your toe, you learn to walk more slowly, but you might have to stub your toe 2 or 3 times if you didn't really stop and learn the lesson. Remember, we're encouraging these late talkers to learn their lesson through their mistakes with you as a guide. It's real life. It's real messy. Okay. So this is what happens. This is how you motivate this speech. And the one thing I really, really need to remind you about is it's not going to come out like other kids talk. It's not going to come out like anybody else talks. It will turn into language, and it will shift into functional language as you consistently schedule time. Like I said, 2 to 3 hours every day to facilitate new speech for your child to pick up. You can't sing the same things. You can't say the same things they know. Your speech has to be new, more expanded, and easy to listen to. Super easy to listen to. If it's not easy to listen to, they won't pick it up. If it doesn't involve fun or movement, they won't pick it up. Okay? So the speech that pops out will not sound exactly like the memorized scripts your child's been using. You may hear bits of your stories and explanations and all the things you have combined with the other things that they know for a while, it's going to get very messy. Like I said, they'll combine Hindi and English. They'll combine language and stuff they heard, songs. They'll combine all kinds of things, right? The more you facilitate, the faster that evolution happens. But in the process, it's messy, okay? So thanks again for watching. And stay tuned because I have something else I want to show you about. And I want you to think about right now. How can you incorporate movement or even talk about the movement that you already are doing and make sure that it's there? This is why we don't make kids sit at the table and just say words. They have to be doing something, manipulating, managing, playing with stuff, holding squishies even, whatever. Any little movement will activate that area. How can you incorporate it? Make sure you're talking during this movement, okay? This is what it is. You do have to walk and chew gum at the same time, literally, or talk and chew gum at the same time. Hopefully not chew gum. You have to talk and walk at the same time. You have to talk and eat and walk at the same time. You have to talk and drive at the same time. You have to talk and mommy at the same time. If you're not talking during this movement, it's not activating. Only one or the other area is activating. And how can you make your jobs more fun and enjoyable for this late talker? Because that's what it takes. It's all it takes, folks. But you do have to be consistent with it. Now, just want to remind you again, if you're just joining me now, I am developing. It's going to be coming out this month on my website, specialized content for virtual autism. So many parents are stuck in this place where people don't know how to help their child because they want, if they're really autistic, they've got all kinds of stuff for them, but they look like they're autistic and you don't want those autism things. You want something different. And so that's what I'm offering you, is something different. You will be able to not only watch this specialized content, you will be able to connect with me and other parents in my private virtual autism forum and community Q&A meetings where you'll be able to join me live and ask about your child and your situation and their gestalts and what they're using and all of that stuff. And how you're going to do it is you're going to subscribe to my newsletter to get all the details. And let me show you really quick. It's at wavesofcommunication.com. Right here, you just click that green button and it will access my free Get Started guide. So you get a 7-page guide with starter videos and things like that, that you can watch. And then in the email that you'll get every Sunday, they go out every Sunday, you'll get the info and details on how to join. It's going to be really inexpensive, under $100, okay, a month, to access all the training you need for virtual autism and work with me. Ask me questions. I get all these long emails. Parents want to know, am I doing it right? I can tell you. You want to know if you're talking enough? I can tell you. You will have a forum for you to be able to upload videos so you can share your progress. You can share your strategies. You can share your stuff, but it's a community, right? So you'll be working with other parents and me. And what is remarkable about this is you will learn potentially even more once you join this community from other parents. Like, you'll join Q&A calls, but in between Q&A calls, you'll be chatting with other moms about what things you tried and how your child's doing and the emotional ups and downs or things that happened when you got judged by your school and how to manage and handle schools that are judging your kids and what to do about it, all of that. That whole forum is for you. Safe space for parents of kids who have been misdiagnosed, misjudged, and you can use this space month by month to get your child caught up. And then when you get them caught up, you can send them to regular education school. And that's my goal, is for you to stay only as long as you need till you get your child caught up. And according to my plan, 3 months, you can get them caught up to the point where they can go to school. It depends on how severe they are, how old they're, how much ABA you've had in the past. There's a lot of things that come into play about how fast the progress will happen. But I've got the space for you. It's dedicated for it. We use gestalt work with late talking kids for whatever reason they're late talking, I equip and empower parents to help you avoid going down the rabbit hole of distraction into things because you got triggered by your child's behavior and all of that other stuff. Let me show you one more time. It's going to be really cool, everybody. Specialized content from my YouTube channel that is nowhere else. You'll have it specialized from my YouTube channel, plus additional contents and worksheets and mindset stuff. So you don't get off your path and you can use your workbook and get your child caught up, because you'll be able to connect with me and check in every time you're having a concern. You can go to the forum and you can talk to other parents. So it's not like a Facebook group where they say, okay, mama, good on ya. No. We'll be talking about which video you should be watching and which strategies you should be using, because this is a proven process that has worked for thousands of parents all over the world, but they've had to figure it out on their own by getting my book and using my videos. And I know a lot of you are struggling because you go back to old habits or you can't get it done without the support you need in a community with a coach. And so that's what I'm putting together for you. It's going to happen in September 2023. So definitely, if you are not subscribed to my newsletter, that's what you do right now. Head over to wavesofcommunication.com, click that green button, put in your name and email, and Sunday, you're going to learn exactly all the deals. I think it's going to come out, like I said, I'm looking at probably the 15th, 16th, something like that. I'm hoping, but I'm not promising because I want it to be good. I want it to be set up and working very well. And I'm waiting for the Mercury retrograde to get over with too. So now that we've got so much resources available here on the platform for you, virtual autism parents, right? That's my number one watched video, is that virtual autism video. And it's really likely that you watching this video today found me through that virtual autism content. And I don't know how much you're finding other places, but I know that I'm going to be creating it for you on my Waves of Communication platform, because I know you're out there and I know you need help. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to equip and empower parents all over the world to facilitate the spoken language your child needs. So head over to my website, check out my resources, stay tuned to the newsletter, and I will see you all next week for more language facilitation, information, Q&A, and all the other stuff that's going to equip and empower you to get your child talking. Thanks again for watching today, and I'll see you again. Bye for now.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.